today is a complicated business. There's organized religion, politics, irony, and expectation. Yet at its core, it's a simple idea. The idea that we don't have all the answers, that we should express gratitude for what we do have, and that we can stop and smell the proverbial roses. In these basic beliefs, Annie Lamott has brought together what she knows about belief, about prayer, and about the fundamentals of faith. Annie Lamott is the author of the New York Times bestseller Some Assembly Required, Grace, and Plan B in Traveling Mercies. She's a recipient of a Guggenheim Fellowship. And as always, it is my pleasure to welcome Annie Lamott back to this program to talk about her new work, Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers. Annie Lamott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Talk first about the challenge in putting this book together of trying to distill so much about religion and spirituality, things that people have talked about for millennia, into some very simple, very basic ideas.
Well, I was really excited and challenged, and because I had tried to do it with bird by bird, I had tried to just put down everything that might be useful, and so I tried to do it again with prayer and faith, and to not put stuff that is just sounds good or sounds erudite or might be helpful theoretically, but just to say, this is what we're talking about when we talk about prayer. What we're talking about when we use the word God could be really, really, really individual and private for you. And we're all pretty much in the same boat. And these are some of the things that I think are helpful or that have really run true for me. So it's not a deep, theologically intricate book at all.
One of the things that it does do is it takes this idea, this frustration that so many people have, this sense of powerlessness in the face of so much that is going on in the world today, and boils it down to a kind of gratitude, kind of an appreciation for things that are happening.
Well, I think that it's just such a mixed grill experience, both in our own families and in the world. It's beautiful and it's painful. It's confusing. It's awe-inspiring. It makes no sense at all, and yet it is so touching and so has such potential for hope and inspiration. So my experience is really that, like, people are always saying, if I express any worry or anything, well, let go and let God. And I just feel like stabbing them in the forehead, you know, with a salad fork, because if I could let go and let God, I would let go and let God. If it were easy, I'd be doing it. But it's for so many of us hard to put down the reins, you know, and to just trust that there's a different way out there that isn't going to spring from the rat exercise wheel of my mind or the endless ticker tape of my best thoughts. So I think it's very hard to let go. And I also 100% of the time can say that it's been the answer for me, because I'm a person who likes to try to control things and who thinks that I have very good ideas on how everything should turn out. So I don't get to the prayer help usually until I have really tried all of these absolute crazy tried and true to fail ideas that I have, or, you know, ways of trying to get people to do what I think is best. So, you know, I think prayer is both hard and I think it's so natural.
Talk a little bit about help as a prayer in and of itself.
Well, help is really the great prayer, and it's the hardest of all prayers. It's a prayer really that I think has driven so much great literature and movies of people being in really, really desperate straits, people who often who don't believe in God, people who are so beyond being at the end of their rope that it's hard to even imagine facing another day, and yet they say with no conviction, no nothing, they crumple over and they bow their heads and they say, God, help me. Now, not everything is going to be as dramatic as that, but we get lost. I'm lost almost all the time if I'm anywhere. I'm in New York right now, and I'm whenever I leave the house, I'm lost. Whenever I leave the hotel, I'm lost. And And I say help a lot. I start to get impatient. I'm exhausted. I had a, 9-hour drive to and from Bryn Mawr last night in Pennsylvania and giving a talk and having, 800 people standing in line, which is a great blessing, and every writer would die for that kind of attention. But it was 9 hours, and I'm from your neck of the woods, and I'm right on California time, and I'm exhausted. And I'll just say, will you help me, God? Will you help me not be a pain in the neck today? Will you help me not feel sorry for myself today? And as soon as I say it, it's sort of like writing a note to myself, It's like a note to self kind of prayer, like putting a post-it on the fridge saying, can you step into this a little bit? I'm not being as mellow as I hope I would be towards all these people who are helping me so much.
And sometimes just acknowledging that one needs help is often the first step in solving
exactly
a problem for yourself.
Exactly. It's saying to something deep inside yourself that you keep trying, you keep doing the same thing each time, expecting a different result. You're done. You do not have any more good ideas. You do not have any more graphs and flowcharts. You are really troubled and needful of some kind of assistance. And those of us that are religious would think it was some sort of divine intelligence or love saying, God, finally, I thought I'd never hear from you. Thank you. And I'm stepping into the breach.
But sometimes it's just also finding in those moments a kind of inner power, an inner connectedness that will get you out of that rut.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think sometimes, I don't want to sound too new agey, but I do know that I have a higher self. I have a much lower self. I have this graspy, clingy, willful teenager, this brooding, sort of pouty, kind of a brat, who really thinks she should get her own way in most circumstances and who definitely thinks her ideas are good ideas, because if they weren't, I would have different ideas and then those would be the right ideas. And then there's a higher self who's been sort of a watcher all these years, who has been through a lot, who has grown up as to some really amazing degree, actually, who knows that there are other ways but my ways and the high ways, and who is a higher self, who's a deeper, self-connected to goodness and to truth and to not being spoiled and willful. And when I can just remember that and turn over the steering wheel to that person and just get in the back seat, amazing things happen. So I think that when we call out for help, we're both saying to ourselves that there's another way. And that once we're tired enough, I always heard that the willingness to change comes from the pain. So we usually have to change we usually have to notice how much pain we're creating for ourselves and everybody else before we'll switch to plan B.
The corollary of this is that when things do happen, when things do work out, maybe not always the way we plan, but work out in interesting ways in any case, to appreciate them, to have gratitude, to give thanks.
Well, I think it's so profound, whether you are consciously thanking God or a higher power of your understanding or whatever, that you are noticing that your family really got a break and that things could have been a lot worse, which is, we both know to be almost always true.
Right.
That you flip the coin with your family, with your health, with your finances, and the coin landed on your side. And so just to say thanks, and I say thanks very easily to God, and I say thanks to stuff for stuff that people might think was ridiculous because it didn't seem to them to have anything to do with God. The car did notice me in the crosswalk. The doctor did have much better news than she could have. But I just say thank you. Gratitude is a habit. Gratitude, when you see someone with gratitude, it is such an attractive, magnetic energy. You're just so drawn to it that a person is, because they're feeling blessed and full and lighter in heart, and that's what we all want. And so when we get there and we see a person like that, we just want what they have. You want to go sit with them. So I think it's a habit that can have really amazing results. Just to say, I'm going to be grateful today. I have a little bracelet that has a tiny, 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 not ostentatious bead on it that says gratitude. And I put it on when I am not there, when I'm being crabby and bratty and whiny or frustrated with everything and everybody. So, you know, sometimes this faith stuff is a decision. It's a decision to trust. It's a decision to put a little note in the God box and let God have a crack at helping the family, helping the nation, helping oneself. So we have to remember that we have this option.
Why is gratitude so difficult for some people, do you think?
Well, I think that for me anyway, I can tell you, there's a certain amount of superstition of being so grateful, of saying, oh my God, I got it. Thank you, it worked out, it happened. He's not sick, or the book's taking off, or the car, it's just a timing belt, it's not the transmission, this is great. There's superstition like you're going to bring the evil eye on you, you know, or that you've committed hubris by feeling too happy. Certainly in your own family, this is not encouraged, you know, that if you think that you're doing too well, you're going to get slapped down. And I think that probably continues into adulthood, that we're going to get slapped down. We're drawing attention to ourselves, or we're allowing ourselves to feel too juicy and rich and big, and there's going to be a payback. So it took me a very long time. It's only really been in the last 25 years that I could just go around going, oh, my God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is great. And to realize that the bigger and juicier and less guilty my life is, the more everybody that I'm in contact with has the chance to live that way, too, and to practice living that way. So it only serves other people and the whole world for us to be in an active state of gratitude, in a conscious state of gratitude.
Talk about the wow fact and the sense of appreciation and the sense of awe that implies.
Well, wow is really when I get to the point where I, who am such a talker, an endless talker, get to the point where I just have this one last syllable left in me where I say, wow. I step outside, I see the stars, I see the Japanese maple tree in full color. I see that my grandson can now pedal a bike. I see that my son is in a really good place, and just 2 hours ago was feeling very dark and teenagery and shadowy, even though he's 23. And I say, wow, God, this is great. Wow, thank you. It's wow, this is great. And I, as a part of my spiritual act, I make myself get outside a lot. I get outside every night before I go to bed. I wake up, I blink awake, and I see this beautiful little flowering pear tree that I've actually twittered about so much. And I say, wow, every time I see it. And, you know, every single time I get back to the Golden Gate Bridge, I say, wow, at the beauty of San Francisco Bay and Alcatraz and the boats and the city. And I feel every single time gratitude. And then, wow, I feel like I'm arriving at Ellis Island, you know. I am so happy to get back home.
It's interesting that people's lives today are so filled and so busy sometimes that these are exactly the things that might help them, and yet they're the things they have the least time for.
I know. I think that's just really human nature to some degree. And as Paul in the New Testament says that he cannot figure out why he keeps doing the things he hates so much about himself, and doesn't do the stuff that he loves and knows will make him feel joy and feel the presence of God. And I think it's really human nature. And you know, if Paul, who I have some problems with because of his stuff he says about women and his feelings about women, if Paul says that, then I think that it's safe to assume that a lot of us are in that boat. Like, I know exercise will help me. I know if I walk for an hour every day, I'm going to feel great. I know if I write for 2 hours a day, my whole afternoon is going to be different than it would be if I don't. And yet, God, you'd think somebody was asking me to clean all the furniture with a Q-tip, you know, and wood oil. And even though I love to do it once I'm doing it. So I just think we're so human and kind of hilarious and dear, like children. And I think maybe that's why some people like my work, because I talk about that a lot instead of pretending it's not going on. It's going on all the time.
Talk about how one can get to these things that we've been talking about without having a religious underpinning, that it doesn't take a deep-seated religious belief to get to these simple ideas.
Oh, no. In fact, the religious belief can be the biggest impediment to peace, to expansiveness and spaciousness. I do believe in nature. I do believe in walking. And I believe, it's like a Gerard Manley Hopkins poem that I quote in this book and in the grandma book, Some Assembly Required, that the earth is just ablaze with the glory of God, and it flames like shook foil. You know, you go outside with the intention of seeing what's out there, and you're just going to be blown away. And blown away is a lot about what I mean by having these spiritual awakenings. It's about not hitting the snooze button anymore and about waking up and saying, wow, and shaking your head with just astonishment at the beauty of the little pond you just passed. And meditation is very hard to commit to, but once you start to do it, it profoundly and radically changes your life. And, of course, it's a part of all the Eastern traditions, but not so much in the West, intrinsically. And it's something that could profoundly change your life and your sense of who you are and how we're to live, and to just to be sitting for 10 minutes with your hand on your tummy, you know, breathing as deeply as you can, could change your whole day around, could hit the reset button. So reading poetry, reading spiritual poetry, reading Rumi or Denise Levertov or Mary Oliver can just give you such a sense of a bigger and deeper and truer reality than this small, cramped one that is in our brains.
Annie Lamott, her book is Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers. Annie, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.